Today's sermon text is 1 Peter 3:13 through 16. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. You may be seated.
Well, welcome to church. I'm glad you're here today. What a joy it is to be here and see everybody worshiping and listening to worship songs to our Savior. Thanks for doing that. The beck and call of Bill Bright when he started Campus Crusade for Christ, was to come help fulfill the Great Commission. That's a very biblical call. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission is given by Jesus. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This message was delivered to Jesus' disciples after Jesus' resurrection, and with the power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, they basically turned the world upside down, reaching most of the known world at that time for Christ. So Francis and I, as full-time missionaries, have the same Great Commission command of Jesus. In fact, we all do. This Great Commission challenge is for all believers, since we are all disciples and we all have the Holy Spirit as believers in Christ. Acts 1:8 also says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you at Pentecost, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Of course, that means that they were to be their witnesses where they were living, in the outer parts of it, and to the rest of the world. Their world was a little smaller than our world is today, but they were able to do a lot of that. For us, that's a challenge as well. The challenge is to reach those that are in our community here, through our workplaces, through our athletic events, through whatever it might be. There's a lot of opportunity. And then spread out a little bit, go throughout the state, go over to Kansas, whatever, and then also to the uttermost parts of the world as well. Not everybody is called to go to the world, but we can go a few blocks and have opportunities to share Christ wherever we're at. Everyone is called to speak out and to reach out. What has happened? What has to happen before we can disciple someone? It talks about going to all the world and make disciples. Well, before we make disciples, we have to share Jesus with them. They need to trust Christ in their own life, and then they can be disciples. That's an important thing to remember. They need to know Jesus. That's where evangelism comes in. We must share the gospel. That sounds scary, but the hardest part often is just getting started on that. Okay, I'm going to change gears a little bit. This summer, Francis and I had a 3.5-week, once-in-a-lifetime trip of a lifetime. A lot of the places we were able to visit were places that we had dreamed of visiting someday, and it happened to work out very well this summer. We were on a path to Paris, 10-day AIA Olympic project, and were asked by some friends and AIA wrestling alumni if we could go early and take 2 1-week trips by train and by cruise ship first. They organized the trip, and 12 of us, friends and AIA staff and alumni, were able to go on that trip. They actually offered another cruise on a river. We passed that one up. 3.5 weeks being gone was a long time. Francis and I have had the privilege of going to 11 Olympic Games. I wrestled in the first two that we went to in 72 and 76. We have been able to go to all those other Olympic Games after that time. I want to thank you for your prayers, encouragement, partnership, and making the 2024 Olympic project for us possible, and helping to fulfill the Great Commission through sports with AIA staff and volunteers from all over the world. This year we had 75 participants from Canada, Hong Kong, Russia, Guatemala, Singapore, Indonesia, Cameroon, Zimbabwe, Thailand, and the United States. It was divided into 2 10-day segments that overlapped in the middle. You have helped us to touch athletes, coaches, fans, locals through the universal language of sports. For us, our Olympic connection starts here in Colorado Springs, where we have an ongoing weekly Bible study with wrestlers and other sports, and have one-on-one discipleship meetings as well. We also have a Zoom meeting that we do weekly since right at the beginning of COVID, and that goes to wrestlers all over the country. Also, our governing body of wrestling is here in Colorado Springs. We connect with athletes from other countries, and they come here as well, and oftentimes host them and have a chance to have ministry with them. God has given us an open door with all the Olympic coaches and the world team coaches, and our governing body executive director is a believer as well. So this is Tommy Brackett, and we meet weekly for discipleship time. And let's see, the one before that is one of the opportunities that we have with our Bible study on Thursday night, and we have met for probably 20 years at the training center. Okay, next. Okay. The Olympic and Paralympic Museum also draws many Olympians and hosts events. The Olympic wrestling teams had an honor of welcoming Tony Dungy NFL Hall of Fame coach and broadcaster in Dave Carnes, new head coach of the Carolina Panthers, to speak to them during their training camp here in Colorado Springs. Both are sold-out Christians and challenged the coaches and wrestlers and shared Bible verses and personal experiences. So that's Tony in the middle and Dave on the right, and Rich Bender, who is our executive wrestling director. Okay? Okay, Melinda, one more. Okay, this is all three Olympic teams, men's freestyle, women's freestyle, and Greco-Roman team. Okay. In Paris, we stayed at Spiritane Catholic Retreat Center on the outskirts of the city. It was definitely Spartan. The participants would gather each morning and have breakfast together, and then have a time of worshipful singing and biblical challenge from one of the staff members from various countries. After that, we would meet with our assigned groups. We each had groups that we would go out with daily, and to decide where we'd go to try to catch athletes and coaches and officials, locals, fans, family. Sometimes that was near the Olympic Village, various attractions like the Eiffel Tower or the Arch de Triomphe, or numerous venues that we'd have a chance to go by. We were often able to strike up a conversation with spectators over a meal or on the metro itself. Everywhere we went, we spent about 45 minutes traveling on the metro and then did a lot of walking to and from our hosts and events. Oftentimes, on the metro, we would have a short opportunities to share with fellow travelers. In our group, we were able to partner up with Greg and Lori Hicks and Carl and Noreen Dampman. They're both alumni athletes and action wrestlers. Well, actually, Carl and Noreen are still on staff. Greg was on the original wrestling team in 1968, and we have traveled numerous miles together. Greg was on the first Olympic project in 1972 and has been in numerous ones since. Also involved in the project in our group were other AI staff and friends who we have known for years. The fellowship was quite rich. Carl was an Olympic alternate in 1976 and AI wrestling, and now he and Noreen are Athletes in Action Global staff. Okay. Greg and Lori Hicks, Francis, myself, and our friends Kathy and Frank Harrell. They're all with Athletes in Action Wrestling over the years. They're all, yeah. We had an opportunity on the metro with our group with Greg and Lori. We had some Eric Little pins on cards that were a great evangelistic tool. And I'll say some more things about Eric Little in just a second. But they were cards that had athletic trading pin on it. And the biggest sport in the Olympics is trading pins. It's not track and field or swimming or anything. So that's always popular to give somebody a pin. And a card had a QR, right? Yeah, QR. I got to get up to my Q's here. P's and Q's or something, I don't know. QR code on it so you could log on it, and had Eric Little's testimony on it. So they were really, I thought, great evangelistic tools. And so we were sitting near a young Frenchman who was friendly and caught Frances's eye. She gave him the pin and card and an explanation of what it was. Little won the gold in 1924 Olympics in Paris in the 400-meter race after refusing to run for religious reasons in his specialty, the 100 that was being held on Sunday. Instead, he gave a message to the Scots Kirk, Scottish Church in London. Laurie asked if he was in college. He said no, but he was just entering Edinburgh University. Greg asked if that was in Scotland. He said yes. Greg told him that that's where Eric Little went when he was an Olympic champion 100 years ago. We are pretty sure he read that story from the QR code on the card that night. Pray for the opening of this 18-year-old's heart. And this this was a picture from the 2012 Olympic project in London. Eric Little's daughters are the lady with the striped blouse on and the orange blouse. So it was kind of fun to visit with them there and catch up. And our friends Frank and Kathy Harrell. What a great tool. Eric Little was made famous by the movie about his Olympics. Anybody remember what that movie was?
Chariots of Fire.
One of our favorite movies. If you haven't seen it, I recommend you see it. It's really great. Another conversation opener for the credentials that we wore. People were interested in learning how we were involved at the Olympics. They also had QR codes that they could span on their phones to listen to later and with athletic testimonies and the gospel message. So you can see a picture of that, the small picture of that. The project group was able to hand out hundreds of sport Bibles to athletes in their own language. We saw athletes from close countries who don't have access to Bibles pick up copies of sport Bibles to take home. There were many more God-ordained divine appointments and seeds that were planted. We will pray for these athletes and individuals for their hearts to be softened, their eyes open, and the Lord would draw them to himself. We also had an opportunity to do some networking with our friend Cristobal Chamali, AI fellow staff member in Guatemala, who we've known for probably 35 years. We've taken numerous wrestling trips down there to a Pat Shaw wrestling tournament where there's a number of wrestlers from all over Latin America. And Cristobal does all the translation for us, and we have a tremendous ministry down there. This year they had, 20 countries down there, and 500 wrestlers. So that was a big group to minister to. We had a very late visit and dinner with Francisco Lee, who's the head of all of wrestling in Latin America. So he's a prestigious individual, and he's very helpful to us as our teams come down, and also helpful to Cristobal in getting him access to athletes from all over the Latin America. He has always been very helpful, that's for sure. A question we have often been asked, were the people friendly and helpful when you were there in Paris? There were a lot of volunteers and people were very helpful. We were trying to order some food at a restaurant. We were having trouble and for some reason or other. Although Francis has 4 years of French. Sometimes 4 years of French 60 years ago, just enough to get you in trouble. Parlez-vous français? That's my French. That's all I have. But she helped us order, so we had a good visit with her. She just was from the neighborhood and everything. There was a huge police presence, as you can imagine, to keep everyone safe. This picture is a very small police lady with a very big machine gun. I gave her a lot of birth, that's for sure. The last time I spoke, we challenged you to pray for many Christian wrestlers. Of those, Aaron Brooks was one of them, and he was a four-time national champion from Penn State and is new on the world and Olympic stage. He won a bronze medal. We enjoyed watching him and others in a very tough competition. Two other freestyle wrestlers that we know, Spencer Lee, won a silver, and Kyle Dake won a bronze. Aaron is very outspoken for the Lord, and it's fun to have him in our Bible studies when he comes to town. Francis reminded me to make sure I get this one to the bottom of it. So that's a good thing, because I can really get mixed up otherwise. Another friend of ours, Kyle Snyder, multiple Olympic and world champion, did not medal this year for the first time for 10 years, but placed fifth, wrestled tough, but the others were just a little tougher at that point. I did text him after we got home, and he responded back graciously. He honors Christ in his interviews. He gets asked questions like, what happened? Since wrestling defined you, what did that loss mean to you? And he states back to them, well, first of all, wrestling doesn't define me. Jesus Christ defines me. And then he continues from there. Yes, losing does sting, but if that's the worst thing that can happen to me, I'm okay with that. You know, I could use a couple of those in years past, those quotes. As some of you know, Kyle came to know Jesus while training here at the Olympic and Paralympic Training Center his senior year in high school. He attended our Bible study, then still comes to the national team study when they're in town. We continue to stay connected. He and his wife should have their second child last month. Of the Christian women we mentioned, Helen Morales won bronze medal and Kennedy Blades won silver medal. Two other ladies that won gold medal and train here at the Olympic in Colorado Springs at times are Sarah Hildebrand and Amit Elor. Okay, I want to show you some sites. This is the Arc de Triomphe, of course, in Paris. Okay? All right, next. And this is the track and field stadium. We got a chance to get some track and field tickets and watch track and field. It was a beautiful stadium. Next. Of course, this is the Eiffel Tower right by the wrestling venue that we enjoyed seeing. Next, there's a USA house in Paris that our Olympic committee put sponsors, and we went there, and some folks just came by and wanted to visit a little bit and take a picture with us. Okay, on most of the trips that we've taken over the years, we work first and then we go on vacation. This one was a little backwards. This one, we vacationed first, and then we worked. Greg and Laurie Hicks and us met in Iceland and flew to Zurich, Switzerland, where we met up with four more couples, mostly former athletes in action wrestling. We caught a train from there all the way to Rome with staying in Kur, Switzerland, two nights, Venice two nights, then Rome for three nights. Let's see. Okay. A big highlight was getting acquainted with all the people that we knew and the new people that we didn't know on the trip. Five of us were from the original wrestling team in 1968. So that was a bit remarkable. We were a like-minded group that shared Jesus whenever the opportunity came and also praying when others were sharing. Another highlight was going through the beautiful Swiss Alps with glaciers on the top. Okay, here we go. Next. It's interesting, on the trains, you oftentimes sat right across from somebody, two people. This time it was these ladies from Seattle, and I think it was an aunt and a niece that were just traveling through Switzerland. Her husband was a retired pastor, so we had a good visit and good fellowship. Next. I want to sing The Sound of Music right now, but you don't want me to sing that. What a beautiful area that was, of course. Okay, next. This is me, of course, with a lot of snow up way up in the mountains and stuff. And it's hard to tell in that picture, but there's a real kind of a bluish area, and that was a glacier. All right, next. This is our friend Greg and Lori walking up in the mountains out of Chur. All right, next on that one too, and we'll just keep going on that one. Okay, this was kind of the courtyard in Chur, and we had a kind of a progressive dinner there one night, which was kind of fun. Okay. I get to drink water because I use up all my words in one message for today, right, Francis? Yeah, she doesn't think that's very funny. I don't know. One great story on the train was sitting face to face with a couple who were looking to get married. They met on an online dating website 2 years before. He was from India and working in Germany, and she was from Taiwan. We visited some, just chit-chatting, and she was not engaged and happy about it at all. He was friendly. He then, as I often do, I asked him, "Where are you at on your spiritual journey?" He thought for a second, and then he then said, I don't know. I'm just trying to catch the bus." I've never had that answer before. That's a doozy. So we ended up having a great conversation, probably talked about an hour. Remember, this is a captive audience, so this is a good thing, you know. He asked me eventually where I was on my spiritual journey, and I was able to share my testimony and share the entire gospel with them. Her English wasn't as good as his was, so he spoke, obviously, his language in India and German and English, so he was pretty sharp guy. I think and pray that it gave them something to think about and planted some seeds in their life. They also asked us some marriage questions because they were thinking about getting married and stuff. So appreciate you praying for them. All right. Next, now these are some shots from Venice. This is a train station in Venice. Okay, next. The canals in Venice with the gondolas on the left side there. Okay, next. We did take a boat ride, not in a gondola, but a boat ride, and we visited with this mother and daughter. She looked a lot happier then than she did before the camera came up. I'll just put it that way. This is our hotel that we stayed in Venice. It had no elevator and a lot of stairs. Another highlight was seeing Rome and the Colosseum. I've always wanted to see the Colosseum in Rome, and I think we both have really wanted to do that. And our tour guide told us about how it came about, how it got built and so forth. And he said the emperor at that time was jealous of the pyramids in Egypt and wanted to do something magnificent so he would get the glory of such a structure. And so he didn't have any money and he didn't have any labor. So evidently, this is what the tour guide said, he sent an army to Israel and took over and defeated them and went into the treasury, got the money, brought the slaves back. He had all the money he wanted. He had lots of slaves. They built it in 8 years. The bricks that they used were this high cubed with no automation, no help from any machines and stuff. I still don't know how they did it. But, of course, there's a sad part that there were a lot of people lost their lives. A lot of Christians lost their lives in this Colosseum. All right, next. Okay, Francis and I there. All right, next. After the Colosseum, we drove around Rome, which was, we were glad to drive around Rome because we're truly athletes in traction at this time in our lives, you know. All right, next. This is a picture of all 12 of us overlooking part at the Colosseum, looking over some other places too. Next. This is the Parthenon, of course, in Rome. It's a beautiful, beautiful, huge structure too. Next. Okay, this is the Vatican. We didn't tour inside, but we were able to tour outside and check it out. Okay. Then we flew to Athens, enjoyed a week-long cruise of the Greek islands that was similar to where Paul the Apostle traveled. It was our first ever cruise, so we really didn't know what to expect. Now, this proves that I still blow my wife's hair back. Oh, okay. Well, it might have been the wind from the cruise. Okay. I barely got permission for that one. Okay. In fact, I'm not totally sure I got permission. Sometimes easier to ask forgiveness than permission, I guess. So. One highlight on the cruise was stopping and touring Ephesus, where Apostle Paul spent about 3 years of his ministry there. And it was, this is the city that we got off on, and then we drove about 10 miles inland to go to Ephesus. And it's interesting because there's a river there, and the silt and everything through the years have expanded the peninsula, and it used to be a port city. It's not a port city anymore. It's 10 miles back. So it was kind of an interesting thing. Okay, the next one is some ruins in Ephesus, and the next one. This is Rhodes, Greece, one of the cities that we stopped at. On the ship, we enjoyed a fabulous dinner nightly with all 12 of us at a big old table. We enjoyed getting to know some of the servers, you know, and visiting with them. They're from all over the world, and they'd often spend 8 or 9 months on the ship and go back and I'm sure they sent quite a bit of money back home, but they would go back home after that time for a short time. So it's interesting. Some of the servers were from Jamaica that we were kind of connected with, so we got to know them a little bit. We also had a time to relax and read and also get ready for our Olympic project and stuff too. All right, another sidelight. This summer, AIA Wrestling sent out 3 more teams to Moldova, Guatemala, and Mongolia. In Guatemala, we were able to hand out 500 more Bibles down there, and had many team meetings where they shared the gospel and testimonies with the athletes from, like I said, 20 countries that were in attendance at the tournament. Both Moldova and Mongolian teams had a great time at their camps and were able to share lots of testimonies as well. All in all, we have so many opportunities to be thankful to the Lord for. One prayer request I ask you about is we just started a new Bible study, kind of, you know, part of the training at the Turning Center is kind of based on the school year as well, or the Olympic timing as well. We started a new Bible study with five high school wrestlers, kind of like Kyle Snyder did when he was in high school and came here. They come for a whole year to get better in wrestling, and all of them have come to the study. I think they think it's part of the curriculum, which is really a good idea. There's a new developmental coach, Jaden Cox, who's a friend of ours, and is a strong Christian guy. Here he was a bronze medalist in the Rio Olympic Games. All right, one more. Let's see, that'll do it, actually, right there. All right, one more little challenge, and I'll be done. I'm going to read 1 Peter 3, 13. I'm going to go through 17 this time, though, so I'll read fast. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear then, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. And this challenge is to always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. So some people, you know, after observing your life, might ask you a question like that, especially those who have been had an ongoing relationship. Most people won't just walk up to you and ask you that, unless you've proved something, unless you've said something. Most people will. That is where opening up conversation about Christ comes in. Sometimes it's hard to get started. As I mentioned before, I use that term, where are you on your spiritual journey? It just helps me get something opened up and get the conversation flowing and stuff. Sometimes eventually they might ask me where I am on my spiritual journey, and like I did with my friend from India, I'm able to tell him about that. Verse 4 says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. You know, in our life, we as believers need to know that we are going to suffer. I don't think in America we are suffering a whole lot right now. Eventually, I think we're going to be suffering a whole lot more, as we can see the laws and the whole society go in a direction that's not towards God. Verse 17 says, for it is better to suffer for good if that should be God's will than for doing evil. So that's kind of self-explanatory. What is God's will for us? I believe it is a great commission to make disciples by sharing the gospel with people, then discipling them, so they can also go make disciples. That's called multiplication. We don't just share with one person. We hopefully share with one person, disciple them, so they can go out and share with other people that disciple that they disciple, and so forth. So I think that's an important thing that we do. And it is, and sometimes it is God's will that Christians will suffer for doing good. So I encourage you to take opportunities to share the gospel where you're at. Bill Bright he was our president and founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, would tell us to share the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results to God. To God be the glory. Amen. Pastor Mark is going